as a preliminary matter, is that whenever I am called on to speak about the past, I remember one of the last speeches, something that Thurman Arnold, my former partner, now deceased, said in one of his last speeches. He said, "I am an old man, and most of the things that I best remember probably never happened." So there are those two things that I submit to you as predicates for anything that I say today. I first knew Lyndon Johnson many, many years ago in the early days of the New Deal. I was then director of the Division of Power in the Interior Department, which had charge of hydroelectric developments, among other things. And later, I was Undersecretary of the Interior. And I knew, got to know Lyndon Johnson very well because he was interested in hydroelectric development and in reclamation and the associated things, other things that are associated with hydroelectric developments. He was also very interested in it politically because in his area there was something called that ultimately was called the Lower Colorado River Authority. And Congressman Johnson, as he was at that time, was very interested in getting the government to proceed with the development of the Lower Colorado River. And when Congressman Johnson and later Senator Johnson and later President Johnson was interested in getting a government official or anybody else to do something, that person became aware of it. And so I saw a good deal of Johnson during those days. He was a favorite of Franklin Roosevelt. He was a favorite of Sam Rayburn, who was the Speaker of the House and a very powerful and important figure in those days. And our friendship continued for the years thereafter. I represented him when he successfully ran for the Senate and achieved for himself the label of Landslide Johnson. He won the election by, I think it was 87 or 78 votes. The result that there was a rather intense litigation in which I represented him. And I'm glad to say I represented him successfully, not because of my skill, but because he was right. Matter of fact, I was called in at the last moment, and I won't go into this in detail. I was called in at the last moment, and I had the flu, and the case was won before Justice Black in chambers. It was a question of the stay. And Justice Black knew all the cases and all the law, and that was fortunate because I didn't. But in any event, I have received, and I think I deserve credit for that great victory, despite the fact that I had very little to do with it. When one praises a president, I think one must obviously start with the man and his background. Johnson was intensely human. He was more human than most people. People are more or less human, I think, and Johnson was more human than most anybody. He was a very emotional man and a very sensitive man and a man of enormous power that was communicated to others. And we were talking about that just before this meeting. There was a physical element in his communication of power. There was also a an element of his own dedication and his own conviction to result achievement. Johnson was especially result-oriented. When Adam first talked with me about coming here and speaking with you, he put the topic in terms of Johnson's conception of the presidency. The question, really, the one must, I think it's a very difficult question. It's particularly difficult in Johnson's case. There's a critical period in the formulation of a man's conception of the presidency. And that period is after he's elected and before he's inaugurated. That little period of time is a critical period of time. Johnson never had that. Now, a man can campaign for months or a very long period of time without facing up to the question of what does he think he ought to do as President of the United States, because the focus then is quite different. The focus is, how will I win the election? How should the issues be confronted? What position should I take with respect to the issues? I don't mean to say this cynically, but there is a qualitative difference between one's approach in that setting and one's approach after he has been elected president. I've worked more or less, mostly less, but I've worked more or less with four presidents. And that period of time between election and taking office is a critical period of time, because sometime during that period, the man who's been elected awakens, so to speak, in the middle of the night, and he says, I'm going to be president. What is it all about, and what do I really believe? And it's during that time, too, that the man who's been elected has an opportunity for a relaxed, more or less relaxed consultation with friends and advisors and people whom he brings in because of what they have achieved. I think it's very important to realize that Johnson did not have that period. Kennedy was assassinated, and Johnson came to Washington. That was an unimaginably stressful short period of time before he had to declare himself and take some crucial positions with which he had to live for a long time thereafter. After he came to Washington, you will remember that he insisted on staying in the house out in the Spring Valley part of Washington, where he had lived as vice president, so that Mrs. Kennedy would not feel under any pressure to move out of the White House. And we met there sort of day and night for a week or so after he came back. The meetings were very specific, and he had to make his State of the Union speech to the Congress, his first speech to the Congress. He had to make it very quickly. It was a time of great stress. Nobody was really sure, Adam, that the Kennedy assassination was just an act of madness. Nobody was really sure whether there were other implications, whether there was a plot of which the assassination was part. We all thought that was true. The FBI, the CIA, everybody thought that was true, but nobody was really sure that. And that added an element of tension to those days. But mostly there was the driving necessity of deciding what he was going to say in his first State of the Union message. Now, the Kennedy program was a shambles at that time. This was in November. Nothing had gotten through the Congress. Nothing was going to get through the Congress in all probability. And vast programs from which this country benefited enormously, in my opinion, had been launched verbally by Kennedy. Great, inspiring new ideals for our nation had been launched, but nothing had been accomplished, really, in terms of implementing legislation on the basic issues. And those basic issues, as you will remember, were the racial issues, the civil rights issues, and the poverty issue. Johnson, among many other characteristics, was an intensely loyal man. His life with the Kennedy family was unhappy. It was a life of great tension, but his relationship as vice president to President Kennedy was remarkably free on his side, and perhaps also, and probably also on the president's side, of any sort of friction or personal rivalry or personal distrust, I should say. But there was friction and tension. But Johnson felt that it quickly became evident that Johnson felt that he had succeeded to the presidency in part and in large part to vindicate and implement the Kennedy program.